Valley Talk on News Talk 1580 KGAL.
Welcome to Valley Talk. Today, it's Albany Helping Hands Day. We're always glad when John Donovan and anyone else who comes from Albany Helping Hands can be with us on Valley Talk because it's so wonderful what they do in our community and continue to do. We're going to find out all about the very latest. Jim Wilhite sends his best to everybody, a longtime KGAL broadcaster, of course, and it's always fun when Jim is here with John to just turn over the reins to Jim because he's so good at this, I get kind of a day off. But today, I get to spend this next hour chatting with John, and Jim is unable to be with us today, so give us just a moment here to get our stuff together. There it is. It's together. And thanks so much to Jim Wilhite for helping to direct the broadcast. He sets these notes up. I've never, ever taken notes or set up outlines for broadcasts nearly as good as what Jim Wilhite does. It's amazing. It's just all laid out here for us. So we're going to chat about the very latest about Albany Helping Hands now. And first of all, welcome John Donovan to the microphone. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here and get to update you on what's going on in our world.
Well, it's great to have you here. Tell me, since you were last here at the radio station, I can't remember when it was. It's been about a month ago or so, or a little more.
It seems like that's...
What have you guys been busy doing?
Well, actually, we've had a wonderful summer and getting hopefully into a really good fall. We are planning to send out our next major mailing, which we have 4,444 donors on our donor base.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. It's quite a good number. And we send out every 2 months a newsletter to our 4,444 folks. Our last newsletter, which was really terrific, productively for us, and so we hope that this will continue because it makes a huge difference. Mm. And this is the best year we've had in my whole experience of being able to keep our cash flow in a good position through the middle months of the year.
Because those can be the dog days, so to speak, the tough time of the year to operate an outreach such as yours.
And that's right. And so we've just been so blessed with the support of our folks. And then, of course, we always are. Now we're moving into contacting our Christmas tree farmers who supply us with all these free Christmas trees. And they're wonderful people, and they have great trees. And we're resecuring our lots and setting up for the whole major Christmas operation because the Christmas trees and the wreaths have always been a huge part of our plan.
Yeah. No doubt, John, you and I will be talking a lot about fundraising efforts, special projects, things that Albany Helping Hands is actively involved in to help support what you do. I think it'd be a really good idea if here in the beginning of the program, if you talk about the shelter operations themselves, the programs, the things that you guys are doing and actively doing to reach out to those less fortunate in the Albany area, give folks a picture of what Albany Helping Hands is all about.
Yes, actually, I was just going through our notes here, and we have average about 90 folks a day staying at the shelter.
That's a big number.
That is a big number. Fortunately, we have 110 beds. But so I realized that what our goal is that we want to help the folks get back into their full life.
A productive life.
And yeah. It's been amazing over 14 years of being a volunteer that I've seen people who came to us in terrible psychological and emotional problems and just very depressed. And to see them overcome those and regain their spirit and get their lives back in order is really exciting. So that's the great outcomes that we hope. And, you know, there are some folks who actually we have a number of folks right now who are working steadily, save their money, behave themselves well, and they have special issues that they are facing. So we're proud of them, too, because they've come a long ways from where they were when we first met.
And without the stability and the place to be and the support that Albany Helping Hands provides, it's likely many of these folks would not be progressing towards bettering their lives.
Yes,
they would just continue to spiral downward.
It really is so tragic to see that process. There was an article in the Oregonian yesterday about a very wealthy suburban community, right outside Portland.
Yeah,
and there was a huge article about the issues they're facing trying to help the homeless population in their community. And they have churches who are trying to help and do the best they can to provide some food and they provide some services. And, the police and the chief was interviewed and talked about he's really concerned about these people. I mean, I think he's a really good man who's trying his best.
It sounds
and
like
his, and it's, I understand, having worked with this a while, that, you know, that's a real tough situation, and because they don't have a shelter. And because they don't have a shelter, then everything they do gets pretty limited. So I was thinking, after reading the article, that we have been blessed with a community that supported us developing the shelter and really has been very, very good about, well, we couldn't do it without them. So... And that includes, you know, I was thinking of all the different parts that makes this work. We certainly have gotten support from the city, both all the officials, plus the council, the county commissioners, our state representatives, and also, of course, the churches. We have 50 churches in our service area.
Wow.
And we have a relationship with most of those churches. And so, in fact, one of the major causes of us getting started and really developing were some of the churches, because those pastors came to us and said, we really, really want to help you, because we're having people come to us every day in our offices, and they're in desperate conditions, and we try to help them. And so the problem is, of course, that the church by itself would do everything they could, but it was such a hard ministry because they try to keep track and see if they had the follow-up and all the issues.
Most churches are not staffed in such a way that they really are capable of providing what's needed.
Exactly.
At least not on a consistent basis.
And they knew this, and they were very, very caring, smart people. And they said, but if we had a place to send these folks, and then we could check on them, and we could find out what's happening and see how we could help them, that would be such a huge blessing for the community. And truly, that's what happened, because they were able to, they said, the resources they were putting into trying to help folks were so much better used and so much more economical when they could work through a place that was really focused on providing those services and keeping in good touch with all of our supporters.
And in our area, that place is Albany Helping Hands. John Donovan, our guest from Albany Helping Hands. John, it's been, 15 years now or so?
Yeah, going on 15 now, right, John.
Wow. You mentioned just a moment ago in talking about the person that you're helping, the average person you're helping, that there's often... besides just being down on their luck financially, maybe out of work or without a place to stay, homeless, there's also some emotional or spiritual damage that's happening in a person's life. Is the emotional, spiritual damage generally what brings them to a low place, or is it coming to the low place that causes the low self-esteem and the difficult, situation, or is it a combination?
I think a combination is really the closest that I can see, because, it's so hard to think, for me to even think about what I've seen happen to folks, because we've had folks come to us who had been very successful people.
Sure, absolutely.
And just absolutely talented people. And here in midlife, they have some terrible things happen, like the loss of their business or, you know, and then the downhill spiral of that on their lives is just devastating. And, you know, I've thought about that over the years that, you know, and all my work life, I was so fortunate. I never missed a day of work. And I never had health issues. I didn't have economic setbacks like that. And it would be so, and it is so hard. But what I see these folks, you know, get back and then see them really build up to where they are operating again at their capacity is very, very rewarding. And so it's just been a kind of amazing outcomes that happened for. And it's amazing to me how some of those folks found us, because we always try to ask people when they come in and register, well, how did you hear about us? And, you know, it's interesting that we've had people come from, like, Montana. And somehow there were people in Montana who knew about Pastor Bailey and our ministry. And they said, he'll help you and they'll work with you. So they said, if you're serious about trying to solve this issue, that's a good place to go. And another case, I know we had a gentleman come who, he had been a super successful chef in Las Vegas at one of the big restaurants there for years. And then he got laid off, and so he became homeless. And, you know, he was in this camp outside Eugene, a homeless camp. And he was getting pretty fed up with this life. And so one of the other folks there said, well, you know, if you really want to do something, you could go up to Albany. And there's this shelter there. And they'll work with you. I've known people that really get better there. And so he came to us. And he was so amazing because we suddenly had the best food in the whole community. We're eating better than anyone, you know, and I was like, he was so able. And then he just kept getting more excited about doing that service, and it just got him really totally going again. And then he ended up going off and getting a really good job again because he was so capable. And so that's the kind of thing we see happen a great deal. The other part that really is a big factor for a lot of people is they come to us and they may have addiction issues and they have mental health issues. So we have a very good relationship, thank heavens, with our county public health folks and with the social workers who come and can visit their clients. And of course, it's great in the sense that what they know is they know they can find their client, and they know they can set regular appointments, and that we will kind of keep track of what's going on, and we hope to be very helpful where whatever that course of treatment needs to be, we can be part of the solution. And so I can see where that's been a really great thing, because a lot of times people, if they're really out there in the community and they're homeless, even keeping appointments and even having any kind of a schedule is really hard. Yeah. And it makes it hard for the folks who are trying to help them, and it makes it really hard for them. So we just feel like I hope that, you know, all communities could end up. And the communities, I've seen a number of communities who have come to us and got ideas from us and then developed wonderful, wonderful shelters. So that hopefully will be something that can keep going.
Absolutely, so that more communities can have the same success stories that you're having here in Albany. One of the things that just impressed me a moment ago, John, was when you mentioned about the chef. He was in the Eugene area homeless camp, and the reputation of Albany Helping Hands was all the way down there in Eugene. That's where he heard about it. So what you're doing, the reputation, the word is spreading, and that's a wonderful thing. Well, so Albany Helping Hands is not just housing and feeding people that really need it and have nowhere else to turn, but also helping to get their lives turned around so they can get back a hold of that zest for life and that ability to take care of themselves and move forward and restore a happy, productive life. We'll find out about some of the great projects going on that helps Albany Helping Hands keep going right after we take a quick break here on KGAL.
Beyond the Beltway with Bruce Dumont, Sunday afternoons on News Talk 1580 KGAL.
We're back on Valley Talk. Today it's Albany Helping Hands Day. John Donovan is with us. And John, you mentioned briefly earlier in the broadcast about the September donor letter. And in that letter, you outline some new needs that the shelter has.
Yes, we're in the process of, again, reaching out to our 4,444 best friends in the communities with some are ongoing needs. We are replacing a lot of our mattresses because, we've been there for 7 years. And so
same mattresses?
Yeah, and it's sort of like, yeah, well, it's time certainly to change all those.
Yeah.
So in the first go around that we just completed, well, we've been able to replace like 12 mattresses. So we've got to continue. That's a wonderful part of this total.
And we're talking 110 beds. Right?
110 beds, yes. So we have a lot of mattresses, but yeah. We did get a wonderful local person who is helping us to actually do this at a much reduced cost from what our retail price was that we found that it would cost to buy the mattresses, just
good.
Retail. So this individual is very, very capable. And so we're getting huge savings, and he's putting those mattresses together, basically, and doing a really good job. And saving us a great deal of money in the process, so that's a big deal that we really are so pleased about. We of course were able to get the ice machine paid for, and the ice machine is a huge help in several ways for us and in all of our services, and we're really, really looking at, of course, again, we repaired the well out at the farm garden, which is so critical because I've been so amazed ever since I moved to Oregon that we can irrigate. So we're not going to lose that crop to a drought. And we can grow out there, and we have this great sunny field to work with, but we've got the water and we got a wonderful well. So now we've got that really working at full speed. That's been a big deal. And, we're looking at, some of the other ongoing needs that we are, in repair and replacement of.
As you get to those needs, let me just throw in something. If you're listening, you're noticing John's talking about making really good use of resources. For example, he's got somebody putting mattresses together for him, saving a tremendous amount of money. They've got at the one garden market there, they've got a well. That's where they're getting their water from, basically free of charge, beyond, of course, maintaining the well. But so you can tell that when you help support the Albany Helping Hands organization, you're going to be getting the best bang for your buck there because they're taking care to use their resources very carefully. Go on with those needs, John.
Well, yes. Actually, I was just following on that thought that right now we have a terrific manager at our woodlot. And our woodlot has become a major, wonderful, productive part of our whole operation. And right now, in this past month, we've sold $6,000 worth of firewood.
In a month?
In a month. And, and that also means that that entire crew of folks out there working are very, they're busy. And our issue right now is that we've got to keep our wood supply. We're really being so successful now.
The demand is getting a little ahead of
the
supply.
The demand is getting better. And wow. So right now I know that we keep finding some great people who help us get that wood, and so it's just been amazing. I think the neatest part, in a way, is I think what's happened too is as we get new customers, and I think we can do some good stuff because we also can deliver the wood, we stack it, and our guys, which is very good work for our people, but also that's a pretty nice service. So if I can order wood and it's delivered and stacked and I'm set for the year, hopefully that's become, then those folks, they call us back. So we keep those customers. And then they start telling other friends and all these other people who are serious wood burners. And that's really building. So it's a nice problem. And we're in the process of finding more people who, and you know, some of the folks who are always help us are like the folks who are always taking down trees, and then they'll call us and we'll come and get the wood and then we'll split it and get it ready. That's a huge help. So we're also always wanting the folks to know that if they have down trees, or if they, sometimes we get, you know, well, we just had a wonderful help from an individual. I had to get 8 trees cut down, and and then we were able to go out there and get that wood off of that lot and really efficiently. And so those are big deals, and that's becoming a tremendous source of income for the shelter.
Well, I tell you this, that if my homeowner's insurance policy, if they ever require me to cut the ginormous tree we have in our backyard down, which they might, I've had to trim it several times. So the inspector will come out and say, you know, those branches are hanging over the home. Then that wood's going to you guys. So my wife just wishes that we would just do it. So, So the woodlot, something that you mentioned when we were off air about the woodlot, is the tremendous story of this man who is managing the woodlot for you. Talk about that. This is pretty cool.
Yes, he, you know, he has just developed into a terrific manager, and he really knows. He knows how to do this work, and he's so excellent about working himself, but he can lead people. So the group he has become just wonderful in their production, and it's great for everyone because he's come a long ways in that whole time period. And he rightfully feels good about what's happened for him and for us. And those are the kind of stories that are so powerful for us who are in, you know, working with the folks and have a chance to be around a lot of people who are just becoming so important to us.
Very good. Now, I know that every day you guys crank out a lot of meals for a lot of people. What's the number again? You've mentioned it before, approximately.
Right. Actually, I was just looking at that. I think we're around 7,000 or 8,000 meals a month.
Wow.
Right now.
All right. So when you say you need to replace an oven, that's a pretty serious need because you're using this equipment in your excellent kitchen facilities every day. And this has got to be a commercial grade oven. So it's not just, you know, your standard thing you get down at the Home Depot or whatever. So let's talk about that need.
Yes. Actually, we are looking, of course, at, again, providing 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. And we also always invite anyone in the community who needs a meal to come in. They're welcome to come in and eat with us. And a number of folks do, and particularly as later in the month, a number of times. It's a really tough time for people on really limited incomes.
Sure, they're waiting for payday.
It helps them, and it really helps them to get through and not suffer that kind of loss. So in the process, we're looking at being able to get our equipment totally and that's the part, you know, that is always interesting and tough for any institution, is that you kind of go along and you're always meeting your needs and trying to upgrade what you're doing. And then you look around and realize, good Lord, we need to replace those ovens. We need to make sure that the heating system is working properly. And we had a whole situation, which was quite amazing, come to us where, we had a local person in the community, get contacted with, they had a nonprofit was working through the federal government, with solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were finding was they were trying to get this really out to people's awareness about using solar energy. So they said they would come and install these solar panels on our roof as kind of a project to show the community how this works, and then you could see how helpful it could be, and it worked. And so we are using solar power now, and we are actually selling power back to the grid. So it's now become a money maker.
Wow.
As well as providing us with a very important resource, which has always been a big cost factor in our operation. So that's, you know, the kind of relationships we can build with these kind of providers is just been a super help.
Very good. We continue to see examples as you come back and share with us here on Valley Talk about Albany Helping Hands of ways that you guys are being innovative to operate lean and mean and, you know, make yourselves as efficient as possible. And this solar power thing is just another example. You're actually selling power back to the grid. That's pretty cool.
Yes, I think, in fact, that, you know, that's kind of it hopefully will become a better. Because even in the short time we've been doing this, the providers are getting better at producing that energy at a better cost. So it's kind of a exciting situation, hopefully, that will be just part of the whole plan. Because I'm just thinking right now, right today, we have folks who go out to a local farmer who provides us with sweet corn, and he has a huge operation, and he has a big heart, and he provides us with the ears coming off of that. They're providing a huge contract with Safeway, but okay, so they've got all this extra corn. Well, my goodness, we're out there and we can sell that corn. It's fresh. It's just picked. It's delicious, and it's a great part of our summer harvest. And again, this family has just been incredibly good about helping us.
Wow. You know, it's great people getting together to support a great cause. That cause is Albany Helping Hands. Our guest on Valley Talk today is John Donovan from Albany Helping Hands. We miss Jim Wilhite. Wish he could be with us. We were going to have another special guest. We're going to introduce him as Chicken Man. Now, when you say Chicken Man, it makes me think of maybe a reluctant superhero or something, you know. But actually, what it is, it's a man who is really, in a big way, responsible for the program of raising and selling chickens that is helping to fund the great work that Albany Helping Hands is doing. We'll talk about him, about the program, et cetera, coming right up after we hear from Charles Osgood, the Osgood File, in this quick break. Welcome back to KGAL's Valley Talk. Today we're talking Albany Helping Hands, and so glad to be John Donovan, our special guest. Chicken Man was going to appear, but unfortunately he has been detained and is unable to be with us today. His name is Emerson Smoker, one of the finest men in our community, or any community. We've both of us, John and I, have grown to love this guy and his wife Linda and what they do and stand for in our area. Owners of Right Way Electric, and he just does things the right way, you know, and in so many ways. He's a big, big guy supporting this program of raising and selling chickens to help support Albany Helping Hands. He's using his experience to help guide that program for you guys. Talk about the chicken program and how well that's done for you guys.
Yes, it's one of those great things that, you know, actually started because I found out talking to Emerson that he grew up on a farm in Pennsylvania, and he knew how to raise chickens. And so he had been doing this on his own place, and but he saw the opportunity to really expand and make this a wonderful project for our shelter. And that's what's happened. We are now raising chickens, and we are so blessed to have a special contract with Cerberus Restaurant, and they buy their chickens, and they have an exclusive order on certain brand of chickens, which they love to use.
The best of the best.
The best of the best, and those chickens are very important. Part of our production, and also then they are raised out there on that pasture, and they have wonderful feed, and they have Emerson as the manager, and he has a really good crew of folks who are running that whole project. So it's turned into a terrific moneymaker, and it's also turned into the kind of connection we keep wanting to make is that when people come out to the farm and they buy a chicken, they buy vegetables or firewood, they meet our folks. And they see our folks doing something real productive, and they get to know them as people. And that is a very valuable part of the whole process of how the people get to understand why people can really improve and make big gains by being productive. And in fact, Emerson's story is a wonderful story, because he was told me after I got to know him better that he always felt bad for folks who were really hurting and people who were homeless. Yeah. And he felt like it was just really an awful, sad thing, but he didn't really know much more about how to interact. But he came out and he did the electrical wiring on our farm store at the farm, and he met some of our guys who were building that building, and he got to know them, and he thought, gosh, these guys are working. A couple of them are really experienced carpenters. Had another guy who was a pretty handy plumber. These are experienced people, and they're really good people. So that's when he determined that he really wanted to get involved and to work with us. And so he became our farm manager. And in the process, it was so good for everyone to have that kind of relationship develop. And that's the kind of outcomes we keep wanting to build with different folks in the community who have been that supportive and make it work. So we're now, selling our chickens very rapidly, and they're we're getting better. I think, of course, as we learn about how to do it, and it's been just a win-win situation.
For folks or other restaurants or whoever listening might be interested in obtaining these amazing chickens, talk about how they're raised and how healthy they are. I mean, these are going to end up being really good tasting chickens because of the way you guys are doing this.
Right. It's sort of like, and I see now that I just heard a story on the radio this morning about a huge chicken operation is going to this. They're kind of doing the best they can to adopt some of these practices, because their clients are very, very pleased about the outcomes of having this happen. Where if the chickens are out, our chickens are out there on the pasture every day, and they're scratching around out there, and they're getting wonderful feed. And that whole experience, I was shocked how good they taste. And I was a skeptic at first about, I thought, yeah, they'll be okay chickens. But boy, they're better than that. They really are excellent. And so we're really able to, we've had a wonderful outcome in that we've lost very few chickens in the whole process. They're in a safe environment, and yet they're having the best kind of possible feed. So it's amazing that it's sort of this is taking over a much bigger part of the whole chicken world, I think. So thanks to Emerson, we were able to really get this going, and hopefully we'll expand. And now it's so interesting, because I went out and bought a chicken the other day, and And the person selling me the chicken there said, well, yeah, you're the fourth person today who came out and bought a chicken. So I said, that's a good sign. That's what we'd love to have, that we have the folks coming out, because they'll also understand when they get there, they're going to see all these wonderful vegetables, and they're going to see the woodlot, and they're going to see the watermelons. And it's just, we do have wonderful products.
That's excellent. Something that you were mentioning during the break, John, and that is that your desire is to continue your work with area schools and maybe expand that. Talk about what we're talking about here.
We have been so pleased that over the years that we started selling Christmas trees, that we always thought from the beginning that there were families in the community who really couldn't afford a tree, and that we wanted to find a way that we could help as many families as possible have a tree. So while we also were selling trees and making money to pay our bills, we had access to a lot of good trees. So we actually kind of hit on the idea that if we worked through the schools and we got connected with the teachers, they could identify families, and they know better than anyone in the community the families that are really, really needing this kind of help.
Sure.
And it worked. So now we have these folks, we get the certificates to the schools, and then they supply the certificates to the families. And I was just thinking about, you know, what a great experience it's been for the families, but also for our folks who are selling the trees. And we had a family come last year, and they had a certificate, and they got the tree, and they were all excited. And about 20 minutes later, they came back to the lot, and they had hamburgers and fries they had bought at a fast food place for all of our staff out there at the lot. And it was so dramatic that, you know, it was such a wonderful gesture that it just moved our guest workers a great deal. And it was sort of a just wonderful Christmas outcome for everyone. And we want to continue this and expand this service to our community. And our teachers have been a wonderful source of help.
That's wonderful. Now, the things that Albany Helping Hands continues to do day after day, running right in the background, you don't even notice it, but all the time, day after day, they are helping people to restore their lives, get back to being productive citizens, to feeling good about themselves, to being able to financially, again, care for themselves and or their family or both. And the emotional healing and the everything that happens that is so positive because of what Albany Helping Hands does on a day-to-day basis is dependent upon your help. And here's where we talk for just a moment or two about how folks can help. Obviously, one of the ways is to literally to help financially. And you're happy to accept that, I know. But there are other ways, non-cash donations, that also can be very helpful. Could you talk about those?
Yes, that's a wonderful topic. We are, of course, receiving donations, and this has been a great help at our thrift store, which is down on First Street and 705 First Street. And so folks are bringing in all kinds of good items, whether it's clothing, whether and other type, you know, tools and all kinds of wonderful
small appliances.
Get a tremendous range of wonderful outcomes that happen because of all that giving. And we're looking at, you know, it even it's interesting. I just got a really good donation this past weekend, and the person giving me the donation said, well, you know, a couple of these are, he gave me so many clothes, and he said, a couple of these are older, you know. And I said, that's okay, because I said, you know, everything, we always go through everything, and we sort it, and if it's not really going to sell, we sell that bulk. And we have a bulk buyer coming out of Portland, and he comes every month. And, you know, the stuff that can be sold, we sell to him, and that amounts to about $2,000 a month.
So
in value of the stuff that is what we think of it would not have value.
Wow.
Has a wonderful value for us because we can handle that and make it just part of the whole plan of
Reminds me a little bit of Habitat for Humanity resale, the way that some donations they can't put out on the floor to sell, but yet they still have bins and things where they, you know, things get recycled or this or that, and they still are able to bring in money for the program. And you're doing the same sort of thing in this regard. I think that's wonderful. What about things such as vehicles?
That's a great topic, yes. I notice that when I pick up the paper and I hear ads on the radio for wonderful all nonprofits who are doing good works, and they're talking about how they are accepting vehicles. And actually, we just had a vehicle donated recently, and it was amazing. And it was a good vehicle, and we sold it a day after we got it. And so it
wow.
was, oh,
pretty
my goodness.
Quick turnaround.
Yeah,
there.
We had a $1,500 donation that fast. And the great thing is one of our board members, Jim Sapp, has been so good to us because he has a car lot. And he's been selling cars for quite a while. And he knows all about the value. And he does this for us. And it's been a great source of income. And also, the neat thing is, I was talking to the person who donated the vehicle, of course, that they got a tax write-off. So, you know, a lot of times, if you ever think about trying to sell a car or used car, can be a hassle, or you feel like it turns into a battle, and all kinds of hard things can happen with that.
Yeah.
But that's what these people said, that they were so pleased that they could give to something they cared about. It worked, and it was simple for them.
And you get the benefits that when you go to pay your taxes.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's working out well for all parties involved. And donating vehicles is a great idea. What about garage sales, estate sales, that sort of thing?
You know, actually, you're absolutely right about the estate sales and the and garage sales. But I did want to tell you, we just found out yesterday, one of my managers was hunting around trying to get a hitch on a truck so he could go pick up a boat and the trailer. Someone had just donated a really nice boat and trailer. So those work very well, too. I mean, we can
very
accept
nice.
All kinds of vehicles. So that's a big deal. And then, of course, the garage sales, it's very interesting we have good friends who live across the street from us, and they had told us that they had a bunch of wonderful furniture and stuff that they inherited, and that they had a garage sale. Well, they had a yard sale, and it was a heck of a lot of work, and I've done a couple of those myself, and they felt like they didn't get much value.
Yeah.
That stuff just didn't sell well.
Right.
And they felt bad, and they said afterwards, you know, they said, we really like to support you guys. If we'd have donated that to you, we could have taken the full value right off on the tax
yep.
base, and you guys can sell that stuff because you're selling
sell
every day, and you
exactly.
that's one of your things. So I hope that people will consider that, because I know that it's a big help. We've been blessed with a lot of great people helping us. But even people, when they have a sale, if they bring us what a lot of folks will bring us what doesn't sell, which is kind of neat for them, because boy, I know when you've had a sale, you do not want to take that stuff back at the
no.
end of your 2 days of out there working as hard as you do. But we can take that, and then we can sell, and we will sell it one way or the other. We can handle that, and that is that's a pretty wonderful source of income.
That's John Donovan from Albany Helping Hands. Unfortunately, John, time has run out. Let me just say that if you want to stop by and have a meal, check things out, you'll find Albany Helping Hands at 619 9th Avenue Southeast in Albany. And here is their website. So if you want to contact them, all the information is there, albanyhh.org. That's albanyhh.org. John, thanks for all your time today, and we certainly wish you the very, very best.
Well, thank you for all you do.